Some of us in our midst are well acquainted with the path of Job. It's not an easy path, but light at the end of the tunnel? If you've been following along with us, we have made kind of a whirlwind tour through this long book. I have, perhaps run through portions of it all too quickly, painting with a very broad brush, a story that deserves more time than I have given it. In our previous three messages in these weeks of October, we have gone through kind of the beginning that set the stage for it all and how this man lost everything. Everything. Can you imagine? Maybe we can. The second week, we realized, though, that he was not without completely. He had three friends. And the major portion of this book is sort of a dialogue between Job and his friends. And I noted along the way that these friends did come and sit with him, which is what we need to do in response to those who are going through tough times. And really, the encouragement is to allow our encouragement not necessarily to involve words, but to just sit and to be. And when those three friends did speak, we note that their speeches, because this is how it was, it's poetry, folks. It's not necessarily like a dialogue as we know it. But their speeches were only half as long as their friend Job. Now, granted, when they did speak, they first started out with compassion and sympathy, but they were stuck. Stuck in their theology. Their theology that said that if something bad happens to you, then it must be your fault. But is that always the case? Job said, no, what did I do? And they kept on that path. Whether they were doing so for his benefit or for their own remains the question. Were they eventually coming up with pious platitudes, seeking to placate God? Maybe. It says something to us as well when we try to give words that really don't have much depth to them. Allowing our theology to weigh more heavily than our relationship with our friends. That's a toughie. Now, this book is one that seeks to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And you know, the answer of this book is, there is not an answer. As hard as that may be. Last week, we listened in part to what God had to say when God finally spoke in a whirlwind. And God didn't answer the question. Oh, he did, but with further questions. Today, we come to that part that we probably were longing to come to when we began. The resolution, the restoration of Job. For this story does have a happy ending. Not all stories do have happy endings, do they? We need to admit that and be honest with that. Sometimes the resolution goes through very difficult experiences. I mean, we pray that psalm, which probably is the one scripture that more people know than any, Psalm 23, and we talk about the valley of the shadow of death and how God is shepherding us through that and leading us along the way. giving us just the basics, the still waters, providing us, getting to the beyond. That's where we long to be. But sometimes that takes a long time to get there. And sometimes we get there and we've been there for a while without really realizing it. I confess to you today that I went through periods of pity this summer. Self-pity. You know that room, perhaps. But somewhere along the way, I realized that I left that room. But I don't know when it happened. But it does happen. Let's dive into this section. This is the part I really want to get into. Because Job answered God, and it wasn't it wasn't all that clear from what he was saying, but he was quoting God at certain points. And that those first so many verses, he is coming around to the point of saying the thing that mattered to most to him was that God spoke. God didn't necessarily answer the question, but God spoke. God was there. God responded. That's all he needed. God had some rough things to say to those three friends. Were you listening? Now, the good thing about those friends, and I want to lift them up because they at least came and they sat with Job, unlike the relatives. Were you listening to that portion? When everything was happy ever after, they finally showed up. Were you listening? That kind of marks the difference between a good friend and a fair weather friend. That's the good part. But you know, in God's response, God didn't say, "Okay, you are condemned. Die." No. He instructed them to go to Job with an offering, to make their offering to Job. In other words, go and be reconciled to your brother. And to their credit, that's exactly what they did. They went to Job and he prayed for them. Did you catch that? Job prayed. In order to pray for somebody, there needs to be that turning, a little bit of that turning that we call forgiveness. In order to give of yourself in prayer, you need to forgive enough to do so. And he prayed for his friends. And I love this verse because God says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends." Did you listen to that? Praying for those who have hurt you is a part of the recovery, the restoration. That is so, so very important. His relatives, it says, showed up finally. And they showed sympathy and comfort at this point for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Now that's a rough verse to say. But it is part of the Jewish understanding. And remember that Jesus was a Jew and said, "All things are from God, ultimately." So when bad things happen, we bring it to God. Even our questions, even our doubts, even our fears, we bring to God. Because God is big enough to handle them. Is your God too small that you can't bring your own anger to God? It's better to share your anger than with God than to blow it on to somebody else. Or even more so, to turn it upon yourself. Sometimes depression is anger turned inward, is it not? Okay, we're getting to the restoration part, and I love this story as it gets here, because he received twice what he had. But we got to make a point, as we say this, to realize that when you come through the dark valley, you do not come back the same way as when you went in. You aren't restored to the person you once were. When you face into your cross, you don't come away the same person. Things don't return to the way they were. They never do. Something different happens. You are a different person. Your experience, your life is different. I'd like to say, you come through stronger. That is what people tell me. That is what I tell others. You come through stronger. Sometimes it's hard to believe. Very, very, very hard to believe. But it's true. And it's a delightful story for Job. Let's just go through it again. Because he talks about his seven sons. Now remember, saying this, we should have in the back of our minds that he lost his children before this. He lost them. These aren't replacement kids. These are children of their own right. A new beginning. Seven sons, it says, and three daughters. And what's unusual about this, because usually in the Old Testament, it's the guys that are named. Did you catch that? Here, it's the women who have names. Do you got that? This is something altogether new. The women are named. And the names of the women, well, Jemima, we know Aunt Jemima, don't we? Jemima means dove. And the intent of this is to get off. You know, in the back of my head, I think of dove and peace. And that should be reviving through there. But dove is also a symbol of beauty. We have dove soap, right? And then there's keziah, which is cinnamon, a form of, it's an aromatic thing that is very, I guess you'd call it sexy. That's what her name means. And Karen Hapuk, which is sort of an eyeshadow that was used. I think some still use it today, don't we? Yeah. And then it says that in the land there were no women as beautiful as Job's daughters. Interesting that for that to be said. I often wonder why that happened that way. But anyways, another thing that was very unusual. Did you catch it? See, back in that day and age, an inheritance was passed on to the sons. The daughters only got an inheritance if there were no sons. But Job came out different. Job came out different, and it says that these daughters received an inheritance along with their brothers. And Job lived a long life. 140 years, it says. He received, I guess if we do the math, he was somewhere in his 40s when this happened. And he received one and then another, twice what he had lived in his years. And he saw his children and his children's children in four generations worth. That's the image of peace. When you die in your bed, having known your descendants. And that's how the story ends. But don't forget the middle. And don't forget that even in the darkest moments, God is there. In the whirlwind, God is there. On the cross, God is there. The symbol for us as Christians is what? Crucifixion and resurrection. And now, I invite you at the tail end of this story to rise in body or spirit, and let us sing together our final hymn.